Good morning and welcome to worship. How great it is to be. Is that sunshine not awesome? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. It is so good to be in worship with you. If you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. And, you know, speaking of special, every now and then there are just those things that touch your heart, those special days. And today's one of them. Our senior pastor is having a birthday today. And I might add, it's the 23rd birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you.
You guys are good. We're ready for the road. Okay. I call your attention to the upcoming activities listed in your bulletin and a reminder that next Sunday afternoon annual conference starts. Keep the conference and all of us in your prayers as we go about that work. And also on Tuesday night at 7:30, Ben Chrisman will be ordained an elder, and we invite you to come and be a part of that worship service. It's a very special time, not only in Ben's life, but in the life of the church. And Ben's been and his family, of course, have been a very active part of this church family for many, many years. A lot of things going on in the life of the church. Take a moment and greet your neighbors and welcome them to worship. You be standing and join with me in the call to worship. The hour is coming and is now here.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
For such the Father seeks to worship Him.
God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Our God is work and not be broken. I have any friends? Good morning. Good morning. Much better. Thank you. All right. I want to talk a little bit about forgetting this morning. You know, back years ago, when we needed to do something and we needed to remember to do it, you know what we used to do? Well, we did it when we remembered. But we used to tie a string to our finger. Do you remember that? Back in the olden days? We used to tie, that would go, or sometimes you see adults that go, wait, my finger's up for a reason. Okay? And I have people laughing behind me. Then came the post-it note. Okay? And we used to write lists. If you look on my desk, I have lists all over my desk. And I also have someone who tells me, she goes, write it down. Write it down. You need to write it down, Miss Lauren. I'm like, oh, I'll remember it. And then I forget. So I need my post-it notes. Then came the wonderful portable calendar. And you know what? I bet you if you look on every woman's purse, you will find a calendar, okay? Or you will find a phone that they can put stuff in, correct? And an alarm will go off. Well, the reason why I'm talking about this is because we need to remember to do stuff. We need to remember to brush our teeth. We remember to make our beds. We remember to go to school. Oh, that's right, we're out of school. But we need to remember to do all of these things, don't we? But today, in our service, we have a special liturgy, a special part of our service that we remember. And can you tell me what that is? Well, for Acolytes, but what do we have every first Sunday? Communion. That is right. And you know what? We have been doing the same liturgy, the same ritual, the same every Sunday for over 2,000 years. And you know what? What does that remind us of every time we take communion? The Last Supper. And you know what? As we may forget to do things, we need to remember about communion, about Jesus' blood and Jesus' body, and that he died on the cross for us. So today when you take communion, remember that Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful day that you have created for us. Thank you for helping us remember what we need to do. But most of all, help us remember that you died for us, that you loved us so much. And help us remember as we take communion what that means for us. We ask this in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to say thank you, but also recognize our acolytes, the ones that have been here faithfully every Sunday. They light our candles. They help with communion at times. They may help with the offering. So as the acolytes will come forward, and then I will also get Jenny Dale, who is our acolyte coordinator. If y'all will come line up here, I have something for you. All right, so we have a few here this morning. We have a few that were not able to be with us this morning, but I did put an article in our circuit rider. So if you want to thank those kids that aren't here and also today when we get done, just to say thank you for helping us in worship every Sunday. So the first one is Jessereen Mahill, and we've got Thomas Miller and Jackson Dale and Henry Gallup. And we've got Garrett Rice and Larissa Temple. We've got Julia Gefsison and Ben Cogbill. And last, we have Connor Gefsison. Why don't we thank him for what they do?
Hey, As we go to God in prayer, I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in your bulletin. We want to remember Sheila Paulson and the death of her mother, Lucille Krucek. We also want to lift up our brothers and sisters in Oklahoma who once again have been hit by a tornado, and as well as the firefighters in the city of Houston and their loss. Let's go to God in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this beautiful day, a day of sunshine after the rain. And we certainly do thank you for our young people, the acolytes that lead us in worship and the example they set. We just praise you for their dedication. With mixed emotions, we come today. We're thankful for all the blessings that we've received, for this table of Holy Communion, for a time of new beginnings, and yet our hearts are heavy. We hurt for our brothers and sisters in Oklahoma who once again face tragedy. We pray for and we know that you will give them the strength and the resolve that they need. And we're grateful for those who risk their lives to protect us, their bravery and their courage. And this morning, we share the grief of the city of Houston with the loss of the four young firefighters who showed us the gift of putting the needs of others first, of sacrificial courage. May your tender arms of mercy embrace those left behind and be the strength that they themselves do not have. This morning, Father, we read the scripture lessons and we realize that we can relate. Just like Jesus' disciples, we sometimes lose patience with people who need our help and support. Sometimes we find ourselves wishing that they would go away and leave us in peace. Our faith is weak. Our egos are strong, our energy is low. Oftentimes our patience is short and our prejudices are real, and our compassion can be limited. Forgive us this morning. Heal us. Remind us as we come to the table, as we look at the cross on the wall, that you showered us with a great love when we were in need and continue to do so. It's a love so deep that you sent your Son to the cross on our behalf. May we learn how to love others as you have loved us. May we have your compassion. May we be your hands and feet to those in need. Oh, Lord God, remember us. And I pray that you strengthen us to do what is right, to love kindness, to walk humbly with you. And as we leave the table that you have prepared for us, and we go out these doors to be the church, help us to realize that through the limitless compassion of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're energized. We're energized to be your disciples, to go out and do your work in the world. And may we truly make a difference. We pray this in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. As I mentioned to you last week, remind you again this week of the disaster response assistance at the United Methodist Church, the appeal that they have made. If you would like to donate supplies for a flood bucket or make a financial contribution, information is in your bulletin. One of the great assets of UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief, is that they are the first in and the last to leave, and 100% of the donations they receive go to the victims. The church covers the administrative costs. So let's keep the victims of Oklahoma, the tornado, in our hearts and in our prayers. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the church, for groups like UMCOR, the volunteers who go out and aid those who have fallen victim to the tragedy. Give them the strength and the wisdom and the courage they need. Open our hearts, open our hands as we go about your work. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's holy name. Amen.
And daughters, this may be a little bit of an unfamiliar hymn tune to you. In the denomination I grew up in, this was a very familiar hymn tune. And even though there was a contemporary Christian song at this time that said, "Why should the devil have all the good music?" I would like to say, "Why should the have all the good music?" And so let us worship God.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? Before I offer the scripture this morning, I just want to have a point of privilege here. I want to say a special welcome to a dear family member that we have with us today. Tony's uncle, Ed Hilliard, is with us from Dallas, Texas, and it's really special because Ed is coming home. He was a member here at Asbury Church in the late 1920s, as Tony's family was here at the same time that my grandfather was your pastor. So this is this day just gets more and more special. Yes, sir? Yes, this is Neil Hart's son-in-law. So again, it just, we have great tradition here. Ed, it is a privilege to have you. We're so grateful. Now, the scripture I'm about to read to you today may not seem like a scripture that we might be sharing on a Holy Communion Sunday, but I hope by the time we finish the message, you will see the connection. So I invite you, if you brought your Bibles or if you care to look in the Pew Bibles, to turn to the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at the book of Judges, the 16th chapter, verses 28 through 30. So may the people of God be blessed and inspired by this hearing and reading of God's holy word as recorded in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, the 16th chapter, verses 28 through 30. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged upon the Philistines for one of my two eyes. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars upon which the house rested, and he leaned his weight upon them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were in it. So the dead whom he slew at his death were more than those whom he had slain during his life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, there's a sign outside the church that says it's my birthday, and I guess it's true. And the story of my birth reads a bit like the story of Abraham and Sarah and the story of the origin of Samson. My parents were married 17 years before they had me. Pretty sure my mother was in shock, and it'd be an understatement that my father was thrown into a major panic at the idea of having a firstborn at age 40. I always figured, well, let's just say it the way it is, that I was an accident. But my mother would always pat me on the shoulder and say, oh, no, hon, you're a miracle. So it wasn't any wonder, you see, that my dad was cast in a play in the community theater that was called Never Too Late. As the father of a baby born late in life to him and his wife. Now, Dad relished the role, and it was a hit. And it was a movie as well in 1965, which was also a hit, Never Too Late, with the late actor Paul Ford playing the role of the father. And there was one line in that play that I heard repetitively over and over in my childhood, when my dad would be notoriously late to something. And we would say, hurry up, Dad, we gotta go. And the line from the play that he learned to our detriment that he said over and over was, don't you tell me let's go, I'll tell you let's go. Let's go. I think God is kind of saying the same thing to you and me when it comes to his will for our life. Don't you tell me let's go, I'll tell you let's go. Now come on, let's go. Let's go about this business of the kingdom. Let's go forward and achieve this great thing for God and his people. Well, there was a man named Manoah and his wife who had been unable to have children of their own. And an angel of the Lord informed this barren couple that they would indeed be having a child, but there were some conditions. The wife was not to imbibe of any fruit of the vine, no wine whatsoever, nor even consume fruit from the vineyard. Nor was she ever to allow a razor to come to the head of her son. No haircuts whatsoever. Once the child was born, you see, the child will be dedicated in this tradition known as being a Nazirite, set apart for the work of the Lord. Now, they promised to the Lord that they would keep this commitment. and that they would raise Samson in the way of the Lord. You see, Samson had been given a mission by God, and it would soon be made known to him. Samson's calling from birth was to deliver Israel from the Philistine oppression, of which had been going on some 40 years. Reading the account of Samson's life, one finds a life so full of promise, so full of providence. Samson had such tremendous potential. Not many people, after all, had the kind of credentials beginning out in life that Samson had. Being dedicated to God, being given this great mission to accomplish for God, to free Israel from the hands of their enemies, the Philistines. To accomplish this goal, however, God gave Samson a tremendous gift. Super spectacular strength. But as you read this story, and I invite you to do so, because you just don't quite know what to think of Samson. He's like E.E. Cummings on steroids. This man loves to tell riddles, almost tauntingly so. He's quite lyrical and yet somewhat gruesome, somewhat selfish. He sees a woman and goes after her, never mind that he chooses her from the dreaded Philistines. Talk about a Hatfield marrying a McCoy. Samson does the unthinkable and marries her, and he teases the wedding party, promising them 30 garments, which was an extensive wardrobe of that day, if they can solve a riddle. Another riddle concerning how he found the sweet honey that he supplied for the feast. Now, they wanted this coveted clothing, but could not for the life of them figure out this riddle. After all, the honey came from a beehive within the belly of a slain lion. A lion, in fact, that Samson had killed. No one, thinking you find a beehive in a lion's belly, naturally was able to solve the riddle. Now, his new wife quickly learned the art of nagging and needled it out of him, so he was forced to come up with the clothing, which he did by striking down 30 people, all in a day's work, and taking their garments from them, and gave the clothing as promised. This reads somewhat like a fairy tale. His father, incredulous at his behavior, then just hands off his wife to someone else. Well, Samson's a little angry about that. And mad at the Philistines and the whole situation and the whole race of the Philistines. So he just, again, all in a day's work, gathers up 300 foxes, ties them end to end by the tails, puts the tails on fire, and burns down the vineyards and the grain fields and all of that that the Philistines had. As sin often begets sin, and vengeance rarely has anything to do with justice, the Philistines paid back Samson by setting fire to his wife and to her father. Well, this just makes Samson want revenge all the more, and he attacks and slaughters many of the Philistines and then goes to camp out in a cave. And they find Samson with the help of Samson's friends, the men of Judah, who tied him up and turned Samson over to the Philistines. They believe in doing this, finally, peace will be obtained. But remember, no razor has come to that head. And Samson has supernatural strength and is able to unbind himself rather easily. And as he's walking along, he finds a jawbone of a donkey and takes it and throws it like a boomerang. taking out 1,000 men, which was followed, of course, by another little lyrical rhyme. Now, Samson celebrated his victory with a prostitute. And everyone knew where she lived. And so they surrounded her house and prepared to take Samson's life. And threats just seemed to fuel his anger all the more. For he took down the city gates, posts and all, and just heaved them across the valley of Hebron. With that victory again, he took a liking to a woman named Delilah. Delilah would be his total downfall. Like the previous wife, she nagged him, but this time she wanted to know the secret to his strength. And she nagged him, and she nagged him, and she nagged him, and she nagged him until he finally caved in and told him his secret. One good shearing of these Goldilocks and I'm a goner. One night, as he slept like a puppy dog with his head in her lap, the Philistine town barber came and gave him a haircut, and he was immediately stripped of his strength and his power. And not to add insult to injury, but injury to insult, they gouged out his eyes so he could not see, shackled him, and threw him in jail. And the Philistines began to do a happy, happy dance. Finally, their great enemy had met his demise. And as they were in the middle of their dancing, they grew bored with it, and they invited Samson to come and perform before them. Now, all that time in jail, Samson's hair had begun to grow back. And he was placed in the courtyard by the pillars of the temple. And everyone had gathered to see the man that they once feared, you see. What a joyful delight to see him, just this miserable, pitiful heap. Or so they thought. And everybody was there, all the Philistine rulers, along with 3,000 men and women. And he prayed one last time for revenge. Lord, let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines. For my two eyes, let me die with the Philistines. He pushed against those pillars with all of his might. And down the whole place came tumbling down. The temple crashing down on them all, killing more when he died than he had ever slain while he was alive. Again, why this passage on a Holy Communion Sunday? I believe as we think about our own lives, as our own purpose, our own calling, our faithfulness to respond to that purpose, our commitment to be obedient to our Lord, our repentance needed as we face our calling and our purpose. The repentance that we need when we are unfaithful to the gift of life given to us. I believe God wants us to think about just a few things we might learn from a man named Samson. The first is, great strength in one area does not necessarily compensate for great weaknesses in other areas. God has blessed every single person in this room with extraordinary gifts and graces. Every one of us. But sometimes, if we just step back and think about it retrospectively, we can certainly remember, painfully so sometimes, our shortcomings, our mistakes, those diversions in life which lessen our abilities, which God intended to be used for his purposes and not our selfish ones. Samson's strength was given in superhuman proportions. However, they were not ever a match for Samson's appetites, for women, for vengeance, for arrogance. We all know good people with strong and powerful gifts and capabilities, which they have allowed some of their shortcomings, some of their own selfish intentions to be overwhelmed, to make them lose their direction for success for God. God's strengths, my friends, God's gifts given to us are meant for God's holy purposes. And second thing that jumps out to me in this passage is God's presence does not force through free will. From the very beginning, God made it clear he was with Samson. From the time of his conception throughout his life, God did not abandon Samson. Just the opposite. Samson's selfish intentions made him stray away from God. And he paid for it dearly. Yet at the end of his life, who does he turn to? He turns to God. There he is, this once powerful, greater, bigger than life kind of guy. He's blind. He's humbled. Samson finally realized that his utter dependence was on God alone. He finally was in sync with his God. And finally, Samson, if nothing else, reminds us again that God can take any one of us who have faith and use us according to his purposes despite our failures. Because besides all those gifts that each and every one of us has, each and every one of us has those failings, has those personal demons, has those memories of things gone bad. You might conclude after reading the story of Samson that Samson wasted his life. You think, how could the story have ended differently if he had just stayed on the straight and narrow the whole time? You might have thought that he was a failure. Yet even still, he accomplished his calling. He fulfilled what God set him out to do, to conquer the enemies so that the oppression would cease. The story of Samson proves God can use people of faith, no matter how imperfectly they live their lives. No matter how far you've fallen away from God, God is stronger than our failings. God's grace is like a magnet, pulling us, urging us, drawing us back to his loving arms. No matter how far you've fallen away from God, no matter how deeply you feel you have failed, it's never too late, you see, to humble yourself and depend on God, to feel, to give yourself permission to feel fresh and feel joy again. Ultimately, through his sacrificial death, Samson turned his miserable mistakes into a victory which would end the oppression. Imagine Samson's joy. Greater joy than any romance he had ever had. Greater joy than any power he had felt. Greater joy than the prestige of being the hero. Greater joy than, yes, even vindication. Samson's greatest joy was knowing that he finally did what God wanted him to do, to overcome the enemy and to free the people up from oppression. This morning, as we prepare to come to the table of our Lord, ask yourself one more time. What is it that God wants you to do? Ask yourself just one more time. What is it he wants you to become? I mean, really, what does he want you to become? And then as you join me in repentance of sin today, ask yourself this. What's stopping you? Let Samson's example persuade you, my friends, my family. It's never too late to turn to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This is the table of love. It's God's love for us. It's open to all. It's not the United Methodist table. It's not Asbury's table. It's open, and it's God's table, open to all. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 12, please. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Observe a moment of silent prayer. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks unto God, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks unto the Lord, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us have just a moment of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this feast that you set before us. As we have fed upon this food of this Lord's Supper, may we also feed upon your Spirit as we go forward. May we do so with the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us prepare to sing our closing hymn as we are standing. It was wonderful to be in worship with you today. We have several visitors, so don't leave this sanctuary without being sure to greet them with the right hand of Christian fellowship and friendship that only Asbury can do. And I hope that you all have a wonderful rest of the day. Please receive the blessing. And now, God, we thank you for this hour of worship. We have felt your presence. We have drunk in your goodness and your spirit. May we go forward now and share that. The peace of Christ to all. Amen.